Hi everyone, today's parak from is the fifth parak of Hilchos Shabbos. In this parak, the Rambam will detail the halachos of lighting a candle before Shabbos, as well as how to encounter and deal with a lit candle on Shabbos. Halacha Aleph. Halachas ner b'Shabbos, ein rishus, im ratza madlik, im ratza einu madlik. The lighting of a candle before Shabbos, for Shabbos, is not something which is up to your own volition. And you can decide if you want to do it, you do it. If not, you don't do it. V'lo mitzvah she'eno chayav l'irdavach harahav. It's also not a mitzvah which you don't have to chase after to do it. Go in Eruv HaChatzeros, which are also other rabbinic examples of things which Chazal instituted, but one could technically just avoid the situation. You don't have to set up an Eruv HaChatzeros, just don't carry then from your house into the Chatzer. You don't have to do Netilas Yadayim. If you don't want to eat a bread meal, you don't have to have a bread meal. Elazeh Chova, lighting a candle before Shabbos for the sake of Shabbos is an obligation. Whether men or women, they are obligated to have in their homes a lit candle on Shabbos. Afilu ein lo ma yochal, even if he doesn't have what to eat otherwise. Shol psachim v'lokeach shemen u'madlikas aner. He should go and knock on the doors and request from people money so that he can go and purchase oil and light a candle on Shabbos. Shezeh bechlal oneg Shabbos. Since this falls under the category of oneg Shabbos, of delighting in the Shabbos day. V'chayav levarech kodem hadlaka, and a person is obligated to make a blessing before he does this lighting. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, asher k'shanu v'sosav v'tibanu l'hadlik ner shel Shabbat. K'derech shemevarech al kol dvarim shu chayav bahem midbreaks over. Just as we would make a blessing before anything which we are rabbinically obligated to do. Halacha beis. Mutra l'shtamish b'ner shel Shabbos. It's permitted to benefit to use the candle of Shabbos. Hu shelo yehe adavar tzarech even harbe. This is assuming that what he will be doing won't require a lot of careful looking. However, if the thing that you are using the light for requires you to be very, very exacting in how you're looking at it, then it is forbidden for you to examine it by the light of this candle, because we're concerned you might come to tilt the candle in order to improve the visibility that you're getting from it. And by doing so, you will have violated Shabbos. Halacha Gimel. The person who is going to be lighting the candle on Erev Shabbos should do so before sunset. And women are more obligated on this mitzvah than men are. In what sense? Since they're the ones who are more commonly found at home. And furthermore, they're the ones that are generally involved in the housework. Nonetheless, tzarcha esh lazhiran levdogos on alkach. Nonetheless, though it is more the woman's obligation, the man is supposed to be involved. He should instruct them. He should ensure that they've gone ahead and lit the candles on Erev Shabbos. He should say to his wife, to the people of his household, on Erev Shabbos, before it gets dark, make sure to light the candle. Safek chashecha v'nechnas haShabbos, safek lo nechnas. If it's a question of whether it's become Shabbos or not, it's a question of twilight or not, it's already being a shmashos, in Malikin. So at that point, we don't light the candle out of concern that you might violate Shabbos. Halacha Dalet. Mishtishka achama, achi ro shlosha kochavim beinunim, hu azman nikra bein shmashos b'chomakom. So now the Rambam goes to clarify his terms. Once the sun is set, until you see three average-sized stars, so that's the time that we refer to as twilight in all situations. Hu safek min yom, safek min laila. And that's what we mean when we say it's a doubt whether it's still consider the day or whether it's considered the night, and we always err on the side of caution and we are more stringent in all situations. And accordingly, as we saw in the previous halacha, we don't light a candle at that point. And if a person were to perform halacha during this stage of twilight of Bein HaShemashos, whether it's on Erev Shabbos or it's on Motei Shabbos, if he had did it inadvertently, he would be obligated to bring a carbon chatas no matter what. When we refer to stars, we're not referring to the big ones which are seen even during the day, nor are we referring to the small ones which can only be seen during night. Average-sized ones. And once these three average-sized stars are able to be seen in the night sky, so then you know it's for sure, it's certainly considered night. The wick that we use to light the Shabbos candles with, we don't use something which the light of the candle will flicker on. So such as we don't use wool or goat hair or silk or the cotton-like material that might come from a cedar tree, and we don't use uncombed flax, and we don't use the bast of a palm tree, and we don't use any other type of material which comes from soft trees, and anything along these lines. Rather, we use something as the wick, which the light, the flame, will truly be stuck within. Going pishta de futsa, u vigde sheish, vitsemer geffen, ukiotaban, such as linen which had been properly combed, and clothing made from linen, or cotton, or the like. Vahamalik tsarik shialik baruch hayota imenapsila. And when one is lighting, he has to light the majority of the wick portion which is sticking out of the candle. Halachavav. Hakorech davar shemadlikin bo, agabi davar shein madlikin bo. If you enwrap something which you can use as a wick, around something which is not allowed for a wick, im lahavos apsila kedei lahosif ora aser. If you're doing this in order to make the wick thicker, in order so that way it will increase the light, so then that's forbidden. However, if it's there to give it substance, so that way the wick won't collapse, but it will be able to be straighter and stronger and won't fall below, so then that's permitted. Halacha Zayin. Nosen gargir shel melech ugaris shel pol al pi aner b'erev Shabbos sheyadolik b'leil Shabbos. One can place a grain of salt or a piece of a bean on the top of a lamp on Erev Shabbos, in order so that way it will be able to burn well on Shabbos. V'chol ha'psilos she'ein madlikin pen b'Shabbos, osam hen medura, bein leschamim kenegda, bein leshtamish l'ora, bein al-gabi menorah, bein al-gabi karka. And with regards to all these types of wicks that we can use for the candle of Shabbos, you can use them to create a torch in order to warm yourself near it, or in order to use it for light, whether it's on some sort of candelabra, whether it's on the floor. V'chol ha'psilos psila l'ner b'vat. The only prohibition was with regards to using it as a wick of a candle in specific. Halacha Ches. Shemesh madlikin bo l'Shabbos, tzarek shehi nimshach achar psila. Now we turn away from the wick and turn to the fuel being used. So the oil, the fuel that you're using for the candle of Shabbos, needs to be something which will be drawn after the wick. Avoshonim she'ein nimshach achar psila. But the oil which won't naturally be drawn after the wick could go in zefes v'shabah v'shem and kik v'aliyah v'chilef ein madlikim hen, such as tar or wax or the oil of a particular type of bird or tail fat or other types of fat, so that we don't light with. Now, what is the reason why we don't use these particular types of wicks as mentioned above, or these particular types of fuels as mentioned just here right now? So the Rambam explains, because if you use these poor quality wicks or oils, so then it's understandable that the flame might be a bit darker, it won't be as good as you would have liked, and you might come to tilt it at the time when you use it for its light. Lachates. Chelev she'etichu v'kirvei dagim she'nimuchu nosin l'tochan shemen kol shu umalik. If you have oil which had been melted down, or the innards of fish which had been dissolved, so then you can use those as fuel if you put them into oil and light them. However, if you were to take any of the other oils, the fuels that had been listed above, which you're not allowed to use for lighting, and then you mix them with fuels that are good for lighting, then that's not going to cut it. That's not going to be good enough, because ultimately they still won't be drawn after the wick, and you can't use it. Halacha Yud. Ein madlikin be'itram nunei sherecho ra. Shema yanichenu v'yetze. V'choba alav li'shiv lor haner. Now, turning to different types of problematic fuel for different reasons entirely, you can use itron. Itron's a particular type of fuel. Perhaps it's pine sap. So you can't use it because its smell is gross. It smells bad. And therefore, you might get up and leave. And there's an obligation on the person to sit there by the light of the candle, and therefore you can't use it. V'lo b'tzari, and you also can't use balsam oil, b'nei sh'reichu tov, because it has a good smell. Shema yikach menu min haner, v'od b'nei sh'hu av. For two reasons you can't use it. Number one, it has a good smell, and you might come to take from that oil and apply it to yourself, use it, and that would be problematic to take from the oil on Shabbos. And moreover, it's something which is dangerous. It could hypothetically, because it's so flammable, lead to problems, and therefore you shouldn't use it. V'lo b'neift lavan, v'afilu b'chol, b'nei shu af, v'yave l'dei sakana. And for that same reasoning, you also can use a particular type of fuel called white naft, because that, even during the week, is problematic just because it's so extremely flammable that you could come to cause great damage. With regards to other oils, it's permitted to light with them no matter what. It's totally fine. You can go in shemen snon, v'shumshemen, v'lefes, v'chol kiyotipen, to use like radish oil or sesame oil, or turnip oil, or anything along those lines. Ein aser ela elu shemanu chachamim bilvad. The only ones which are forbidden are the ones which Chazal just specifically highlighted, as we've seen the Rambam highlight above. Halacha Yud Beis. Lo yitain adam kli menukav male shemen al pi haner b'shvil shehi menatev. A person shouldn't put a vessel which has a hole in it, filled with oil, on top of the candle, in order so that it could drip into it, because that would be a problem. We don't want it to continue doing so. Lo yimalik arash shemen v'inena b'tzad haner yitain rosh ha'psila l'socha b'shvil shtei shoaves. And you also, similarly, are not allowed to place a whole bowl's worth of oil and place it nearby the candle and have the wick going from the candle into that bowl in order so that it could draw. What's the rationale behind why these are prohibited? Because there's a concern you might come to take from some of that oil which is in that vessel because it hasn't been made gross by the candle, since there's that separation between them. And it's forbidden to do that. And it's forbidden to benefit on Shabbos from the oil that you've lit with. Vafilu kavsa haner, even once the candle is gone out. Vafilu notaf min haner, mipnei shehu mukta machmas iser. And even if you were just to be drawing from the candle, it's already completely lit, it might even be extinguished, because the oil has already gained the status of being muks. It's something which has been designated for a purpose that you can't use it on Shabbos. It's used for a usher purpose on Shabbos of lighting the candle, and therefore you are not allowed to benefit from it. However, if you had attached them together, had you made them into one kli with plaster or earthenware or the like, you had forged them together as one, so then it is permitted. Halacha Yud Gimel. Ein nosen kli tachas haner l'kaba bo shemen b'shabbos shemivatala kli mehechano. You also, on Shabbos, can't put a vessel beneath a candle in order to catch any dripping oil, because by doing so, you've nullified the status of that kli. You've turned it into a muksa kli on Shabbos, and that's not something you're allowed to do. However, had you placed it there before Shabbos, that's fine. You can make something end up becoming muksa on Shabbos, assuming you had done so before Shabbos. And you could put a vessel beneath a candle on Shabbos, like kababoni tzotzos, not to catch the oil, but to catch any errant sparks, because then when it's catching that, that's not actually something which is substantive. It'll dissipate momentarily upon landing there, and that therefore won't nullify the kli from being allowed to be moved, and you haven't been vatal that kli by placing it there on Shabbos from usage. And it's forbidden, even if done before Shabbos, to place a bowl of water, let's say, under that candle, which will have its sparks going off, because that's very close to extinguishing the fire. You're causing those sparks to become extinguished quicker than they otherwise would have been, and that is a problem. Halacha Yud Dalet. Ein polin l'or haner, v'lo korin l'or haner, v'afilu gavoa shtei komos, v'afilu asara batim, zeh gav zeh, v'haner bel yona, lo yikora, v'lo yapla l'ora, v'tachtona shema yishkach v'yate. A person cannot check his clothing for lice, nor is he allowed to read a book or a sefer or anything by the light of this candle, even if the lamp was two stories high. And even if there's 10 stories, one on top of each other one, and the person is on the bottom, and there's really no concern, you would think, that he might come to tilt the lamp, nonetheless, he is still not allowed to, because Shema Yishkach V'yata. Maybe he'll forget, and it will cause it to be tilted. These are things which require a person to be focused on the light, and therefore he might come to tilt it. However, it's two people that are reading by that same light together, and they're reading in the same topic, mutarin likros lifnei haner, then they are able to use that candle. Shekol echad mehen mazkir chaver imshacha. Each one of them will remind his friend if he forgets. But if they're not reading the same subject, then they're not allowed. Each one of them is involved in this own separate topic. If you're reading the same thing together, then it's a joint Li mode, and if one of you stops, you'll notice the other one's going to stop. If you're just learning your own thing and you just happen to be sharing a candle, so then you're not really as together in that moment, and you won't notice if the other one might come to tilt it. So young children are allowed to read by the light of a candle on Shabbos because the Rebbe will be overseeing them and he'll make sure that they don't come to tilt it. But he shouldn't be reading because he doesn't have that same sense of awe from them, and therefore he might come by accident to come and tilt it. However, he is allowed to glance at a sefer, which he's going to teach them from, until he can like see, like, oh yeah, this is the next paragraph, this is what's beginning, this is the subject matter, in order so that he can help them read. And then afterwards, he should place the sefer in their hand. He shouldn't hold on to it once he, you know, took it, looked at it for a second, and gives it back to them. And then they should hold it, and again, we don't have to worry that they'll come to tilt it, because he's watching them, and he doesn't have it in his hands, to the point where he's reading from it, that he might come to tilt it. Halacha Tezayin. If you have different items which look very, very similar, and you can only tell the difference between them when you really examine them well, it's forbidden to bring them close to the candle to try to examine the difference between them, because you might come and adjust the light, tilt the light a little bit in order to help yourself identify them. Therefore, if you have some sort of waiter or servant who is not usually there, he's only there on an ad hoc basis, so it's forbidden for him to check the cups, the plates, by the light of a candle, because he doesn't recognize them, and he might come to tilt it. Whatever type of candle it is, even if it's an olive oil one, or even better, it's some sort of naft candle, where it has a lot of light, he's still not allowed to. Aval shamash kavua, but somebody who is there all the time, mutar lo livdok lor haner kozos garos meish eino tzarech in harbe. For him, who's there all the time, he is permitted to check the cups, the plates, the bowls, by the light of the candle, because for him it doesn't require as much examination. V'maya ner shel shemen zayas. However, if it was specifically an olive oil candle, ein morin lo livdok, then we don't instruct him to check in this fashion, v'achol bishum mutar, even though technically it's permitted, because gzeira shema yistabek menu, they were concerned that he might come to benefit from it. He might come and take some of the oil and use it. Halacha Yud Zayin. Ner shal chorei hadelas. If you have a candle behind a door, asher l'ptoach hadelas lino kedarko. It's forbidden to open the door and to lock the door in the normal fashion. Meishahu mechabeu, because by doing so, you'll cause the fire to become extinguished. El yizoher b'shash p'seach v'shash noa. Rather, you have to be very careful at the time when you open the door or you close the door. V'asher l'ptoach hadelas keneged hamadur b'shabbos. It's also forbidden to open a door opposite a candle, a bigger torch on Shabbos, because the wind will go and blow it. Even though it's only a common wind, it's not something that is going to be an extreme wind which will extinguish it. It's only, you know, your average wind. Unlike on Yontif, on Shabbos you're allowed to place the candle of Shabbos on a tree which is attached to the ground, and you don't have to be concerned that somebody might come to use the tree, because on Shabbos, you're not allowed to move or use the candle in that fashion. So either way, you're not going to come to move it, and therefore, we don't have to worry that you might come to use the tree. However, on Yom Tov, it's a little bit different. There, you are allowed to move the candle, and once that's the case, we'd have to be concerned that you might come to move the tree, which is attached to the ground, so therefore, you can't in that case. Okay, but in terms of Shabbos, you are allowed to place a candle of Shabbos on top of a tree, which is attached to the ground. There's no concern. Maybe you should be careful a little bit about the fire, but in terms of the halacha, there's no concern. Halacha Yud Ches. New topic now, in terms of getting ready for Shabbos. In all provinces, in all Jewish cities, they would blow 6 shofar blasts on Erev Shabbos. Malkum Gavoa, how you token, and they would blow from a high up area in that general region. In order so that way, all the people in the province, in the surrounding area, will be able to hear it. Halacha Yud Tes. Tekiya Rishona. What was the first blast for? Nimnu ha'omdim basados, milachrosh, miladar, milasos, milach b'shevasada. So all the people out in the field would stop plowing and digging and everything else that they would do in the field. Ve'ein ha'krovin rashan likonis le'ir, achevo rechokim v'ikantzu kulam v'vazachas. And those that were in fields closer to the city aren't allowed to enter into the city until they hear the ones that had been further out coming, and then they all enter together as one. Va'adayin ha'chanus p'suchos v'atrisin munachin. And at that stage, after the first blast, still all the shops are still allowed to be open, and all their shutters are allowed to be left in their place. In other words, the shops are fully open. When they begin to blow that second blast, so at that point, then they remove the shutters, i.e. they let them lower down, and they close up the shops. However, at that stage, you're still allowed to have the hot food and the pots placed on top of these types of ovens. When they begin to blow the third blast, so the person's going to remove it from the fire, should remove it from the fire, the person's going to go and insulate his food, should go and insulate his food, and they would go and light candles, and then they would wait the amount of time it would take to fry a small fish or to stick a piece of bread into the fire in the oven, and at that point they blow three more blasts, they have a tekiah sound, and then a trua sound, and then another tekiah sound. That brings us to our total of six total blasts, v'shoves. And then we seize all melacha activities. Lachachaf, tekiah rishona, tekiah osaba mincha. The first tekiah, at what point should that be blown? It's actually blown at plag ha-mincha time, which is 10 and 3/4 hours into the day. Vashlishas, karav l'shkiyas chama. And the third one, of the ones we just listed, so that should be close to sunset. V'chein token b'motzai Shabbos, and similarly, they would also blow on Motzei Shabbos after Tetzav Kuchavim in order so that people can know that it's time to go about their regular actions. They're allowed to do melacha again. Yom Kippurim shechol yos b'erev Shabbos lo ha'yu token. If Yom Kippur fell out on Erev Shabbos, it's Friday, so then they wouldn't blow on Yom Kippur. Chol yos b'Motzei Shabbos, if Yom Kippur fell out on Sunday after Shabbos, lo ha'yu token v'lo mavdilin. They also wouldn't blow at that point after Shabbos to allow melacha again. You're not allowed to do melacha on Yom Kippur either, and they wouldn't make havdalah. Yom Tov Shechol Yos B'Erev Shabbos, Token V'lo Mavdilin. When it's Yontif that falls out on Erev Shabbos, so they would blow on Yontif, but they wouldn't make Havdalah. You don't make Havdalah from Yontif to Shabbos. Chol Yos L'Achar Shabbos, if Yontif falls out after Shabbos, so then Mavdilin V'lo Token. So in that case, you do make Havdalah, because you make Havdalah from Shabbos to Yontif, but you don't blow the shofar in that state. That concludes this parak, a very, very important halacha l'maaseh parak. Everybody should have a wonderful day.